Welcome back to the Lash Base Podcast. It is episode number 10, and today we have a big one for you. This is all about the most recent Cosmoprof trade show, which is one of the biggest beauty industry trade shows in the world. This is where all of the latest lash manufacturers will show off all of the new products that they have, and it's a great way to have a look at what is coming in 2020, whether that's new products or new trends. I've been there, I've seen it all, and I want to give you a roundup of every single product that is coming to you in 2020. Right, let's get going. So before I start, I need to say a massive thank you to, and well done, in fact, to Amy and Ellen that took over episode 9 and talked all about events. If you haven't heard that yet, go back and listen to it. I was away in Hong Kong, which is what I'm going to be speaking to you about now, and they took over, recorded an episode so that we could make sure we kept with our one episode every single week. And I think they did an amazing job. So well done, Ellen, and well done, Amy. Right. So I need to start by saying that I have spent the last week in Hong Kong. They have a huge show called Cosmoprof. It is where lash manufacturers and all beauty manufacturers, so they have makeup, all the brow stuff, any makeup stuff, lots of packaging, and of course, lash manufacturers. So we go out there every single year, or at least we try to go out there every single year, so that we can meet some of our current manufacturers and also hopefully see some of the new products that are coming, because it's brilliant to get a good idea at what the next trend's going to be and what products we need to be looking out for in the following year. So this is a perfect timed event. And now I have seen probably 5 to 10 new lash styles. I've seen another handful of new adhesives and products and cleansers that are going to be coming that all brands across the world are going to be stocking very soon. So I wanted to give you a heads up, because Lash Base won't be stocking all of them. You'll hear why in a minute. However, I do want to tell you about every single one that I saw and explain what it is, why it's good or why it's bad, and then you can make up your own mind. So when you start seeing these products being released by other lash brands, or indeed if it is Lash Base, then you already are aware of what this product is. So I'm going to just jump in. We're going to start talking straight through all of the products. And first up is Tattoo Lashes. Right, so when we arrived, this was the first lash manufacturer that we came across. I remember walking in, we saw this massive hall, lots of people exhibiting all of their latest products. So we decided to start right at the far end and get going. We came across a lash manufacturer that we don't currently use. So it's a new one to us. We saw them, and their big selling point and their big advert that they had is that they were selling something called Tattoo Lashes. Now, later on, as we were wandering around, all of a sudden we saw that near on every single lash manufacturer was offering the same Tattoo Lashes. So let me explain what they are. In very, very basic terms, what they will do is these lash manufacturers will laser in to the base of the lash, so across the strip, the lash brand's logo, but in fact, they will laser in any word or logo or anything at all that you want. So they're selling it to you to say, look, you could laser your logo into here so that when someone's looking at a strip of lashes, you can actually see the brand's lashes that it is lasered into the actual lashes themselves. Now, straight away, I was thinking, but all that does is stroke the ego of the lash brand owner so that they can go, look at me with my lashes that have my lash logo or my lash brand lasered into them. The selling point behind them is that because of the lasering and the grooves that are made from the lasering, it actually or allegedly will improve lash retention through the adhesive and the bonds that can be made between the natural lash and the lasered ridged sections of the lash. However, now I thought about this and thought, okay, I get what you're trying to say, but now imagine if the word lash base was lasered into any of a strip of lashes. At some point, there is a vertical line. So with the L, it's just a vertical line. So what you're saying is there is just going to be, within a strip of lashes, a section that is just completely lasered thin. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds absolutely horrendous and it wouldn't help or do anything. So in my opinion, Tattoo Lashes are definitely going to be a gimmick. You might see a few brands bring them out. But like I said, it looks good. But when you actually think about lash application, in my opinion, this is not going to help anything. So I'm giving this one a big fat gimmick. So the first one we come across, although it was quite exciting and quite fun to imagine that lash base could be at the base of a set of lashes in the tray, yeah, this one definitely is a no-go for me, but it's completely up to you. So what we're going to do with each of these that I talk about is we will post up and say, what's your opinion? We'll put a poll up and you can select which is your option. That's over on our Instagram stories, or also just get involved in the Team Lash Base group on Facebook. Search Team Lash Base, you'll be able to get involved and talk about it. So that is new product number one, and that is tattoo lashes. So you heard it here first. Some brands will probably bring these out. Lash Base will not be bringing them out. So let's move on to the next ones. And the next ones that I'm going to be talking about are going to be the new types of flat lashes. Now, it's quite interesting. I remember when we went maybe 2 or 3 years ago to this, flat lashes were a big thing. And they were pushing all the new, the standard styles of flat lashes. So if you remember them, they're thick, flat, often shiny, and often very stiff and bristly. So it was not great. But like with any new lashes, everything has to start from somewhere. And whenever it starts, it's often not the greatest. And then it evolved from there, and then they become better and better and better. So this is what this is. Now we've come back 2-3 years later, because flat lashes sort of died off a little bit. And then I think maybe last year or so, they had a bit of a resurgence because they brought out the new ones like the split tipped flat lashes, matte flat lashes, and a few other different types that made them a little more appealing rather than just the really stiff, bristly, shiny flat lashes that got a little bit of a bad name for themselves. So the new types of flat lashes to keep your eyes out for are a D-shaped flat lash. So if I try and explain how this actually looks to you, if you imagine a normal lash is a circle, this one is basically cut in half so that it looks like the shape of a D, which means there's, again, two thoughts I had to this. It's going to look different depending on how you apply it. Some people will apply all the lashes on top of the natural lash. And if you're doing that, that means you will be applying the flat section to the natural lash. So in that sense, flat lashes are sold as having better retention because of the surface area, the sort of the flat rhomboidy shape to it attaches to the natural lash better. So that's great. However, from anyone looking, they will look like just normal lashes. So the only argument here is they will look like normal lashes, except from they will be lighter. So I guess that means you could use a thicker diameter that still looks normal. Whether or not that's something you think sounds good or not, that's completely up to you. Now, the other way is, what happens if you're applying the lash to the bottom of the natural lash? So let's say you do that. That means you're applying a normal shaped lash onto the bottom. Nothing wrong with that. But the visual of it, you'll be looking at a flat lash. You get the flat appearance. So again, that will make it look thicker. So if that's what you want to achieve, then that is how a D-shaped flat lash will work. So they should be coming out very soon. Again, this is probably not something that Lash Base will jump on unless we get a lot of customer requests. So next, the next flat lash that we saw again, and this one seemed fairly interesting, although I'm still not convinced it's a little bit of overkill, and that is triple tipped flat lashes. So I know a lot of you are probably using the split tips, so the double tipped. This is now split three ways. So if you have a look at the end of it, it's got three little sections. This actually makes them feel softer, makes them appear more matte and fluffy. Not sure how I feel about these. They look like they could do a job, but we'll see in the quality of finish. When I had a little look, because they provide you with a little magnifying glass to look at them up close, some look good, but then some of them looked a little frayed. And it was just a bit worrying, where if you were a lash brand committing to these, what would you get when you get the final product? Can the manufacturers keep up the quality of such fine work and splitting the tips the three ways? I'm not sold. However, they definitely are softer. They definitely look a little more matte. So they could be a good one. Something worth considering. Definitely would like your opinion on that. And then lastly, the last type of flat lash I need to speak about that I saw was, and bear with me on this one, an easy fan flat lash. Yikes, I know, right? So you all know my opinions on easy fan lashes anyway. It's all personal preference. Some people absolutely love them. Some people don't like them. There are reasons for why they're good and why they're bad. I don't need to get into that right now. But what I do need to get into is these new easy fan flat lashes. So the way that they work, they have a layer of flat lashes along the bottom with normal lashes piled up on the top. So normal Easy Fan lashes are normal light lashes and then normal light lashes piled on top. These ones are flat lashes with normal lashes on top. So, and these are 0.07s, bearing in mind. So the flat lashes is a 15. The normal lash on top of these flat lashes are 07s. That means that as soon as you try and pick up a chunk of these to fan them, they still remember have that stickiness at the base, which helps with keeping the bases together, which is why they're called easy fans. But the problem is, as soon as you pick them up, you're already picking up a couple of 0.15 flat lashes along with two or three 0.07s. So straight away, that screams to me that you're starting to get into the too heavy and too dangerous for the natural lash. So they may be released. You might find a lash brand will try and tweak it and ask for maybe slightly thinner diameters, or they might just go for it and come out with what they're being offered right now. Again, this is not something that Lashbase will be looking into, but I just wanted to let you know the types of lashes that these manufacturers are trying to push at the moment. So they're the three types of new flat lashes that are coming. So it's one thing's clear, they're trying to find new ways to innovate when it comes to the flat lashes, because when you've got your standard lashes, there's not a lot more that can be done with them. So changing shapes and changing how you use them is definitely a way to try and evolve with the flat lashes. Out of all three of those, definitely the triple tips seem like they could be something decent, but the other ones are definitely going to be a hard pass for me. But remember, please give us your opinion over on the Lashbase Instagram account or in the Team Lashbase Facebook group, or just talk about it. And yeah, I'd love to join in the conversation and hear what your opinion is on that. So moving on from the flat lashes, and I next want to talk about embossed or ridged lashes. It's another new take on lashes to try and improve retention is the idea behind them. And again, this was done, or when I saw them anyway, there was a few manufacturers offering these, but when I saw them, it was the same company that were offering the triple tip flat lashes were offering these embossed or ridged lashes. So they gave you a little magnifying glass to look at what they were trying to sell and talk about. Basically, when you look close up at these new lashes, they've been sort of maybe ridged the whole way up the lash. So they're almost like zigzaggy, if that's a word, or like wavy. That you can see when you're looking at them, the way the light reflects off them, they don't quite look like a normal lash. You can see that they're slightly ridged or embossed. So the idea behind this is it helps with retention because the adhesive will fill in the ridges of the lash, which means you'll get better retention according to this lash manufacturer. So again, I'm not sure how I felt about the finished look of them. And it just made me think, imagine if somebody was wearing these lashes, what would that actually look? Obviously, they didn't have any examples of what they look on the eye. So again, if any lash brands bring out this new embossed or ridged, I don't know what they probably refer to them as, they might make up their own name. It'll be interesting to see what the final look is on that. And also, when it comes to adhesive retention, more adhesive doesn't always equal better retention. So I'm still on the fence as to whether having these little ridges would actually help with the retention itself. So that's that. And then moving on then, we're going to talk next about a new, but not that new, type of pre-mades. So everyone's pushing their pre-mades now. And again, you've probably already made your mind up of what your opinion is, whether you like them or dislike them. You might have tried some good ones. You might have tried some bad ones. Either way, they're still around and they're going to stay with us. They're improving, they're evolving. You've got to look out for several key points. Are the bases nice and pointed or are they too flat? What are the weights of them in the size of the fans and how much adhesive is used at the bottom? There's all of that. So I could talk about pre-made fans and pre-made lashes for a long time, but this is like a new style, a new type. And again, this is almost like another evolution of using flat lashes. I've already seen one brand in the world bring these out. But these were new to me when I saw them. And that is, they have pre-made fans and the middle lash is a flat lash. So you've got a middle lash through the middle and then either side are two thinner diameter. They were using 0.07s either side. So you had a 0.07, 0.07, and then a flat lash, then a 0.07, 0.07 pre-fanned on the strip. It kind of looked quite cool. But then when you think about it, again, it was all about the weight and the base. When you had a little look at it, it wasn't the most pointed base. It was quite boxy And if you start then adding up the weights of what you would be happy with using as a fan, you'd probably go up to maybe 4 or 5D in a 0.07. So if you're going 5D and one of those lashes is a big, fat, thick, flat lash, what is that right? We spoke to them and we said, look, we're not sure if this is too heavy for the natural lash. So can you do 0.05s or 0.03s on the outsides to make this more acceptable for natural lash health? Obviously, they smile and nod and say, yes, of course we can. We could do anything that you want. But my worry here is that how many lash brands were there and saw that and have just decided to commit, place their order, and they're going to be getting something that is potentially going to be too heavy for the natural lash. This is one of the problems that I have with pre-made fans. We are definitely at Lash Base, so we make sure that what we're selling is safe for the natural lash. However, some of these lash manufacturers, they bring out the types of pre-made fans that definitely make you question whether they are suitable or not. There is a reason for this, which I'll explain shortly when we move on. So that new type of pre-made fan incorporates a flat lash in the middle. So a flat lash and a few thinner lashes either side to make the fan. So there were a few other like coloured lashes and things like that. But now I'd say that was all you're going to get for new lashes in, especially or definitely in the early part of 2020. So if any of those take your fancy, keep an eye out, because there will be people that are ordering them and bringing them out very soon. But that will be it for the new ones. Now, moving on. As with every brand doing lashes, or sorry, lash manufacturer selling lashes and stocking lashes, they also all have now their own ranges of adhesives and extra bits that they sell along, because nowadays you don't just buy your lashes, you have to have lashes, cleansers, primers, super bonders, adhesives, all of that sort of thing. So I want to talk to you now about that side of it and the new stuff that's coming either from late this year or early next year, and then and going on into next year as well. So the best thing that I saw, which was very interesting, and if you followed me on Instagram, you would have seen I did post about this on my Instagram stories, is that there are a handful of lash manufacturers that have this new adhesive bottle casing. So it's a small plastic covering that goes over the bottle of the body. And then the lid itself is also forms the lid of the adhesive. So the small adhesive covering that goes over the bottle has got a small sort of like cut up it, so that it means that it helps you. And this is the idea of it. You're supposed to be able to easily dispense adhesive. It helps with dispensing of adhesive. And they claim, and again, I spoke to several manufacturers about this when we were there, they all used the same sort of sentence of sales talk with me. Every single squeeze of this new casing on the adhesive will push out 0.03 mil of adhesive. So every single one, you can guarantee that you can just squeeze, and they are the size blobs that you're going to get. Now, if that is true, then that is absolutely brilliant. However, I'm not sure how accurate it can be, but we'll see, because they are going to come out. People will have these, and even having a little go myself did seem pretty decent. It also, the lid that attaches to it has got it's almost like a bigger pin built into the top of the lid inside, so that when you put the lid on, it actually, and again, this is their claim, so don't take this as fact from me. This is just what I've been told. It actually, because of the little pin inside the lid, it makes it 99.99% air sealed. So again, the reason behind this is because that should hopefully improve the longevity. So if you can make sure you can control the amount of blobs you're using, you can hopefully make sure that you're not letting too much air get to the adhesive, which will then make it last longer. It means that your adhesive as a whole will just last longer. So it's quite a cool little thing. It looks quite nice. The boxes that it come in look brilliant as well from the companies that were doing it. It's a funny one. Everyone seemed to claim to have the patent for it and said that they were the ones that invented this new thing, yet they were all selling it. So that was a bit of a question mark over that. However, guaranteed this will be one of the first things that's going to hit the market either late this year or early next year, and it's just a new casing on adhesive bottles that helps you control the amount of adhesive you use. So that is probably one of my favorite things. Unfortunately, Lash Base, we get our adhesives created in the UK. We don't buy anything that is from China or Korea, and that is purely for safety assessment and regulation and compliance reasons. It's better for us, and it means that we can comply with regulations better by buying it from the UK than it is from just buying it in from China or Korea. But I will go on to talk about that again at the end. When I do my roundup of this, I need to speak to you about the lashes and also about the sort of the lash liquids, I call them, adhesives, cleansers, primers, that sort of thing. So moving on, that is about the adhesive casing. Again, one of my favorite little things that I did see when we were over there. Also, one thing I noticed, every single lash manufacturer is now bringing out their own lash lift products. So this is a good thing. The thing is, lash lifting has been growing and growing and growing and growing, and it seems to be picking up speed. You'll notice that most brands now have their own very specific brand lash lift that they do, and all of them are very similar but slightly different. They have different timings, different colors, different ways to use them, different, like whether it's an air sealed bottle, a little sachet, a normal bottle. They have all different methods, all of them very similar, but then all of them have their slight twists. And again, it's quite hard to tell when you're looking at the lash manufacturers, because everybody seem to be very similar with similar timings and similar methods. It's very hard to tell how much is the difference in product versus how much it is just marketing from the brand that has the lash lift. So it's quite interesting to see. So you'll probably see more companies come out with their own versions of lash lifting. One of the ones that we tested and had a look at, unfortunately, was a little watery. So if you're using a lash lift brand, check, make sure it's not too watery, because if it's too watery, that can then affect the adhesive that's on the shield and on the lash, and then it will come unstuck, and then the lash lift just won't work at all. So if you're using a lash lift, make sure it is quite thick. That's one thing that came from looking at these new companies' lash lift solutions. The other thing with the lash lifting products is when you're buying from companies that are in China or Korea or anywhere in the Far East, they do not do the safety assessment testing on it. All they will do is provide you with an safety data sheet, an SDS, and it's up to you then, as the, if you're buying them, that is, as the brand, to then get them safety assessed and tested and checked and make sure they're compliant with the regulations within the area that you are selling them and the country or state, if you're in America, that you're selling them. That is one of the big downsides, because a lot of companies do not do this. They'll just buy it in, stick a label on it, and then sell it. That actually can void insurances and can cause problems in the long run for the brand themselves selling it, and also for the lash artist that's using it and performing the treatments. So that's one thing to look out for. Now, lastly, one of the last things that we came across, again, is a lot of these companies, instead of doing just lashes or just lashes and adhesives, they have, as with all treatments now, they have all the extra little liquid bits. So that's the cleansers. Everyone's doing their own super bonder style thing now. So I kind of get where Ruthie Bell's coming from when she feels a bit cheated that people are copying. But unfortunately, that is just what happens. So you've got lots of super bonders, lots of cleansers. And again, one of the main things that I noticed when we were looking, and it kind of ruins it for you, is none of them are safety assessed. We had a conversation with them when we started talking to them about EU regulations or US regulations. And unfortunately, they can't answer any of the questions. They say that it's okay to use in China or that it's okay to use in Korea, but they can't tell you any more than that. So it's a little worrying, especially with the way that the industry is going at the moment and the amount of people that are bringing out their own lash brands, because it is really easy to do so. You can go online, you can buy your samples, find something you're happy with, stick your label on it, and then start selling. And that is what a lot of people are doing. And unfortunately, that is not the right way to go about it. So it's all about making sure that you have the correct safety assessments and compliance and regulatory stuff, that you have met all of the needs for the country that you are selling them in. And if you're just buying them direct from China or Korea or somewhere like that, they do not do that for you. It is your responsibility. So although it was nice to have a look at all of these new products and the fancy bottles that they've got come in, and they can tell you how well they work, the worrying thing for me from speaking to any of them was that none of it's safety assessed or tested. It's just created and sold to someone that will buy it. And they don't even explain that it's your responsibility to get that tested and certified to be sold in the country that you want to be selling it. So that's something that I would say definitely look out for. if you are buying products from anyone, like at all, double check with them that they have the safety assessment tests, that they have registered it with the correct authorities within the country. I can't speak for every country or every state because obviously I don't know everything. All I know is what we do here at Lashbase, trying to make sure that we do everything 100%. So you could ask us for any of the safety assessments, ask where we've registered it, ask for obviously the safety data sheets that we have just available on the website anyway. But that's one of the big worries. And I think in all fairness, my main thoughts from all of this is that the biggest issue that we are facing is such a hidden issue at the moment in the industry. And that is that I don't believe people are actually safety assessing, testing, getting certification for selling legally these products that they're importing. Now, I had a conversation with someone when we were out there, and I think there are two types of people. There are the people that don't consider it and the people that don't care. Now, there are people that don't consider it, and I must admit, if you're brand new to this and you're buying your products in, you found them online and then you're buying them, putting your label on it and selling them, I can understand why you wouldn't think that they need to be safety assessed. Of course, why would they? They're selling it to you as a certain product, you're buying it in, and they're the ones telling you, here's this, here's that, you can sell it, go. Of course, that's fine. So you wouldn't consider it, would you? I don't think that's necessarily an issue. However, once, and if you're listening to this now, I'm now making you aware, please, please go and have a look and try and get it checked and make sure that what you're selling is technically safe and legal to be sold in the country or state or whatever that you are living in and selling your products in. Because then you don't consider it, which is okay-ish to somebody that doesn't care. So if you're aware of this and you're still selling a product that you have not had safety assessed, because the thing is, all it is, it costs you a bit of time and a bit of money, but once you have that, you can then be happy, proud, and safe selling the stuff that you are selling. So again, this is probably, and this isn't supposed to be a big sales pitch, but this is one of the biggest things for us here at Lashbase, is we make sure that every single product is safety assessed, it meets labeling regulations, it is registered with the correct authorities that it needs to be registered with. So for example, we have a look at a bottle of Lashbase adhesive. We've even had to put a peel and reveal label on the back so it fits in the right regulatory stuff. So that would definitely be my main thoughts from traveling around the show. There's a lot of good stuff coming. There's a lot of good stuff, nice stuff. However, they don't tell you that it's the responsibility of the buyer to then get that safety assessed. So, rant over. I hope you're still with me. I didn't realize that this was going to go at this angle. I was supposed to be just talking about the products. So I will have a little recap for you. And then I think that is about it for now. So we've got coming tattoo lashes. You've got three new types of flat lashes that include the Easy Fan flat lash, which if they don't drastically change those very soon, they need to be avoided. You've got embossed ridged lashes, new types of pre-mades, which are coming again that incorporate the flat lash. You've got the new adhesive casing, which is very exciting because if it does what it says it does, then that will be helpful to people. And I'm sure there'll be lots of brands coming with that very soon. New lash lift products as well, because lash lifting is growing. My advice would be, if you don't do lash lifting yet, please learn, because it is growing. And you know, when you see that the manufacturers are pushing it, you know, that means that the brands are going to be selling more of it because of the demand. And there is a demand for it across the world. So if you don't do lash lifting yet, definitely do, or at least try and rethink about how you do it. And lots of lash liquids. So the super bonders, cleansers and primers that are coming. But like I said, just make sure if you are a brand listening to this and you're looking to start a brand and you want to start selling things, think about the safety assessments, please. But I'd say that's it. The main thing to come from that, and it's not bad of the manufacturers necessarily, but the thing is they are not lash artists as well. So this is a big point I need to make. They don't consider lash health. They don't consider the application of the product. They just make what they think would be good or what people have requested. They don't actually consider it, which means if you're a lash brand or you're considering buying some new lash products, make sure you ask the question. Just question everything. Like, is it safe? for the natural lash. What is the overall weight of this? What lashes have been used? How has this been made? What is the glue that's attaching them at the bottom? All of those questions need to be asked, because then we can all together will end up making these manufacturers make better products. So for example, with this flat lash, if they bring out the flat lashes that are in the pre-made fans, then as long as they're a 0.05 or under on the fans, and then the flat lash is actually a fairly thin flat lash, you're going to be completely safe with it. So let's hope that that's what's going to be coming. Because again, these manufacturers, they don't think about that. It's not their fault. They're just making either what they've been asked or what they think would be good. So that about wraps it up. I've rambled on enough. I hope that you've taken something from this episode. Next week, we're going to be back with a more standard lash-based podcast episode that is going to be more debate style, that we're going to hope to open up more of a conversation about some serious stuff that's going on in the industry. But please, as always, if you have liked listening to this, please, please share this on Instagram. Tag me at lashbase_Jamie. And also join in the Lashbase Facebook forum, which is search Team Lash Base. You should be able to find it and join, or join in on Instagram. And I will happily have a conversation with you about any of these new lashes, or if you have any questions about anything simple, like how do you start a lash brand? The answer is surprisingly simple. Where do you go for testing? All of that stuff. That's safety testing, obviously. And I will happily answer those questions. So until next week, thank you very much for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.